May is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at Menards.
Welcome to this episode of Press X to Continue. It is time for you to choose your fighter. You've got a few options this week. You can pick me, Stefan Powell, very high on the speed and skill meter, very low on power. What are you saying, Einel? What's yours?
Oh, I'd go for power. I'm feeling fit today, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because you've been getting buff with Mel B all those years, mate. That's what it is.
It's that, and this tour is... I've lost weight on this tour.
Have you?
Yeah, because we're doing two shows a day, and it's high energy. Costumes ain't going to fit by the end.
Your costume designer fuming because like, Aina, can you stop losing weight, please? Can you start
with ice
cream? Yeah, I'm eating. It's myself and Aina Tomlinson with you again as ever. And we are joined, well, we're very exciting this week, Aina, because obviously we've got the queen of the Continue Club, Frankie Ward, with us. Hello, Frankie. Mm-hmm. Welcome back to the podcast.
Hello, you're welcome. Thank you for having me back.
That's how the queen likes to, you know, that's how the queen rolls. You know, for the queen of the Continue Club, that's how it works. That's all good. But it's very exciting this week. Obviously, it's exciting because we've got you on with us, Frankie. But it's also exciting because we've got a wild card. We've got a debutante on the podcast. And so therefore, we have to start with a very important question to the actor, streamer and gaming creator, Lewis Edridge. Lewis, do you want to be in the Continue Club or do you want to be an Exy Beast? What's your choice?
Wisely.
Continue Club?
Are you just saying that because you're being,
pressured?
Yes.
You're being pressured by the queen of the Continue Club.
Oh, well, it's Frankie, of course, always pressured.
Lewis is a loyal subject.
However, the sound of the Continue Club from listening to the podcast, that sounds like a great status to be in.
So the Continue Club. Well, it was lovely to have you with us. Thanks for being on.
Thanks for having me.
We always like expanding the Continue Club or the collection of Exy Beasts. Although I do feel like that, you know, we can talk later. You can give me your true answer as to whether or not you want to be in one or the other. That's fine. I feel like there was some sort of peer pressure going on there. Right. So we're starting with our unsung hero game. Frankie, you've got the privilege of giving us an unsung hero game this week. What have we not been giving enough love to over the years?
So the thing is, I went back and forth on what should be my unsung hero game. And I was like, should I go Katana Zero? Should I go Pentiment? And then I thought, no, I'm going to go for a game that potentially isn't a very good game.
That's fine.
a critically panned game. And when I tried to play the 2015 port of it, I realized it doesn't work. And maybe that's the port. Maybe that's the fact it never worked in the first place. And that is 1998's Starship Titanic.
Okay, so talk to us about Starship Titanic.
Okay, so context. I think, now I'm not really sure because I was like 4 or 5 and some of the games kind of crossed back and forth in my brain, but I think the first game I ever played was Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which was a text-based game.
Yeah.
Douglas Adams, of course. Now, Douglas Adams also created Starship Titanic with Simon & Schuster Digital and his own production company. So it's a British game. We love those.
Yeah.
And he created this game, the novel came later, where a ship crashes into your house and these bots on board take you on and you have to basically solve the problems, rebuild the artificial intelligence system. So in some ways, it is a modern story. AI is a big thing now. Douglas Adams doing it back in 1998. And the thing about this game that really stands out to me and why I fell in love with it is it's so beautiful. And I lived in the countryside. I was 9 years old playing this game. I didn't have many friends in my life. And so being able to like spend time with this beautiful, visually realized spaceship and also literally talk to the robots on it was magic for me, because the thing that revolutionized or tried to revolutionize, they didn't quite stick the landing, let's call it a noble failure, was this text parser system. So they built this game engine where you could essentially write anything and the robots would respond to you. However, it did an incredibly work. It went incredibly wrong at times. And the robots would just be rude to you. And I just really liked John Cleese being a talking bomb, threatening me with imminent death. And I loved Terry Jones squeaking as a parrot in my ear, "Nobody likes a smart ass." And yeah, the robots...
Sounds like an
most
amazing
of the time,
cast, Frankie.
Couldn't do their jobs. Yeah, well, because Douglas Adams used to write with Monty Python, so he had all these famous friends who got on board. They recorded about 16,000 hours of dialogue, but something didn't work properly, so it didn't make it into the game. Oh. The puzzles are really difficult and don't make sense, although some reviewers, I think, were a bit harsh. To me, some of them do make sense. For example, if you put a feather into a succubus, of course it's going to cough up a dead body.
Yeah. Okay, I mean...
I know that might not make sense to you guys. This is why you've got to maybe try and one day find a copy of the game
I'm
that
just,
works.
I'm just fascinated. But yes. I'm having a quick Google of it now, so why my eyes are down here. And it does
remember
look,
it was 1998.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. But I'm just interested as to, of all of the titles you could have chosen, Pentiment, one of the ones you sort of noted earlier, this speaks to you as something that deserves a pedestal for us to put it on.
Yes, because this game is never going to win any awards. Whereas Pentiment, I do think, found an audience and did have a lot of accolades going its way. I do think more people should be playing Pentiment because the way that game tells its story is so beautiful and unique. So, you know, that can also be something that actually everyone should go and check out. It's probably still on Xbox Game Pass. But for Starship Titanic, I think the reason that I love it so much, apart from that Douglas Adams connection, is because it did try to be so ambitious and bold. And I think that it tried to be a bit like Myst, basically, but I didn't play Myst as a 9-year-old. So I didn't know what I was missing out on, a game that works. And it came out around the same time as Grim Fandango, which for me is the pinnacle of a point and click adventure. You know, understandably, that's a really good game. Starship Titanic is not, but the ambition and what it wanted to be for me makes it a hero.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it looks, I'm loving the screenshots and what I've seen of it. So Starship Titanic, if you've also played it, if you've loved it like Frankie, if you could actually get it to work, all of these things, then do get involved in the conversation, join the Discord, find us on social media, comment along. Lewis, would you go for like when you get to choose your unsung hero game with us, are you going to go for something that tugs at the nostalgia strings like this one, or would you go for something more modern?
Yeah, I'd go nostalgia. I wouldn't go for something as problematic. It sounds like a spaceship crashes into your house, then you're kidnapped by robots, which is, you know, and then you're forced to do their chores. I'd suppose like, when I think about nostalgic games, I'd go kind of like GameCube, like Pokemon Colossus, or, oh my goodness. Rogue, did you ever play Split Second? The racing game?
Yeah.
That, like, I've just got this nostalgic memory in my brain that, I just, it kind of filled that kind of burnout hole for me.
It did.
It was so great.
On the 360, I remember that one.
Yeah, the 360, yes.
Good choice.
Oh, too many hours left.
Loads of people are sharing their unsung hero games in our Discord as well, so you can do the same. Matt's suggestion is Lego Battles from 2009 on the DS. He says, the game was my entry into the real-time strategy genre. I spent hours playing it as a kid on long car journeys. The graphics are simple, but the gameplay loop is fun. The music is fantastic, and it's got that classic Lego charm. Thanks. That's a great suggestion, Matt. Well, look, Frankie's had a say. It is Starship Titanic as our unsung hero game this week. And definitely, like, I'm intrigued by it, Frankie. I'm going to read up a bit more about it. Also, that cast just sounds... I know he had friends, Douglas Adams, but wow, that's pulling together some of the greats of British comedy acting there and sticking them in a game.
There is a whole podcast in this. I will happily co-host it with you. What went wrong with Starship Titanic?
Well, I'll tell you what, you hear it here first. Yeah, we'll copyright that and we'll come back to it. Right then, let's get some trivia. So you know how it works by now, right? People put a question in the Discord that me and Einar can't see, and then we try and guess the answer to those questions here on the podcast. There is a posh leaderboard that is put together courtesy of Yes Andy No in the Discord, who's done some jazzy maths in the background to figure it out. So it doesn't matter how many questions you answer, you still have a place on the leaderboard. Now, currently, where are you? Let's have a look at this. So we're having a look at it. Keza McDonald is still number one. She should be, though, because she's the Guardian's games editor. So she should be number one. She is. Imogen Meller is in second place at the moment. I don't know how that happened either. We need to look at Yes Andy Knows Maths.
Yeah, I think the algorithm needs to have a little rejig.
Yeah. So where's everybody else? So obviously, so Einel, you're currently in fifth. I'm in third, and I'm trying to find, where are you on my list, on the list here, Frankie? Oh, Frankie, you're currently in fifth.
Bitch.
Where?
He said, where are you? Where are you?
She's so far down the bottom, we can't find her.
I'm
there
scrolling.
Are numbers to describe where she
I'm
is.
Scrolling. Where are you?
That was accidental. But you are down in currently in 15th. But hey, look, it can all change. 16th being bottom place. You're currently in 15th, but that's it can all change. It can all
what is
change.
Wrong with you today? Who's 16th?
Loads of people are in 16th, so you're ahead
fine.
Of loads
okay.
of people, so no stress. So
okay.
you know,
well,
Lewis,
you,
could
be,
in,
place.
You could be in here somewhere.
Who wants to be a continuer?
The question this week is, which movie franchise was first to have a film adapted into a game? Which movie franchise was the first to have a film adapted into a game? Any thoughts, Lewis? We'll come for our final answers later on. Any
I mean,
thoughts
first
on
that
this
comes
one?
To the top of my head is Prince of Persia.
Oh,
is the first thing.
Yeah.
But then again, like you've also got Tomb Raider, but I think Prince of Persia was before Tomb Raider.
Yeah, so I think yes, this Frankie. We're looking for. So the other way around. So we went a thing that was a movie first that got turned into a game.
Oh.
So which movie franchise was the first to have a film adapted into a video game?
Does it count with like the old school like adaptations from Toy Story like and The Incredibles into a game?
I'm thinking this is going to have been before then.
Oh.
I reckon there must have been something from the 90s.
There is
a film in the 90s. Was Wing Commander? Because we did a nostalgia episode the other day. So, like, I've got Wing Commander
80s,
in my head. That
it?
Was a film, was it?
That's 80s, right? Oh.
I don't know.
Is it GoldenEye anyway. Is the first James Bond, I think, that was adapted? Oh, no, before GoldenEye. Tomorrow Never Dies was before GoldenEye, I think. But I could be wrong.
I think GoldenEye was first.
I might have to go with like something like E.T. again.
Yeah. So, movie franchise that turned into a video game. What was the first one? We'll have the answer at the end. Oh, that's a good question. Whoever came up with that,
yeah,
it's a good question.
I don't like it.
Oh, they're getting harder.
I know.
I had a 4-disc X-Files PlayStation 1 game. I don't think I ever made it beyond disc 2. Yeah, but obviously that's a TV series.
What was it?
Yeah,
how did you play that? How did you play that?
It was like a point and click. Adventure game, and I was far too young to be playing it.
And I had
it was from a bargain bin, guys. That's where all my PlayStation 1 came from, like
were
games
they,
came
were,
from. Blockbuster
were
bargain bin.
Were the lead actors in it?
I can't remember. I don't think so. I just because it was first person perspective. That's all. I just remember opening a drawer and something being in it. That's literally all I remember from that game.
It was memorable.
So memorable. Unsung hero, guys.
Now we've got some GTA 6 sort of news to sort of kick things off this week. I'm going to say it's GTA 6 adjacent. It doesn't look as if, according to reporting from GameSpot, that online gameplay is not going to be available day one on Grand Theft Auto 6. So it looks like it's going to be something that comes later on down the line. So, you know, the idea, you know, this report suggests it's going to be a bit of a staggered launch in terms of the bits of the game that we play. Now, of course, when Rockstar launched Red Dead Redemption 2, there was a month between the game coming out and then the online mode kicking in. And then it took a bit of time, almost a year, I suppose, for that to really get in its flow. It took a little while, didn't it? Did you ever play much of Red Dead Online 2?
I've never played Red Dead Online.
Yeah, I'd like the idea of it sort of spoke to me, but I never.
I think it came after I stopped playing it, and I was like, I'm not going back. The game is too massive, and I was like,
I wonder if it was day one we would have done. So that sort of got us on to thinking about whether stuff should be there on day one or what we care is there on day one and what isn't. Lewis, do you have strong feelings about games that sort of, and we know that games drip feed stuff all the time now, that's fine, but what should be there on the very first day of purchase? Is online play, you'd expect it to be there day one?
Not particularly. Maybe for like the Call of Duty franchises, like they've become such an online multiplayer game now. I mean, I'd prefer to have a complete finished game with no bugs. So if they take a couple of months to release an online mode afterwards, then I'd much prefer just having a game I can actually play beforehand.
Yeah.
Plus so GTA 5 is so huge at the moment online. So people can still play GTA 5.
Yeah. And I suppose it's a way of making sure that people actually play the story, right? Because they're going to put so much effort into that part of the game, and this will encourage them to actually do it.
Yeah, and at the moment, they're in so much pressure, like GTA 6, just to have a completed game upon release, because there's been so many games over the last year that have just been bugged because they've just rushed it and released it, and it hasn't worked on any platforms apart from like a super powerful PC that kind of like forgets about the bugs.
Did you guys see the update in Potbitch about GTA 6, the newsletter?
I did. So for people who don't know, Potbitch is a newsletter that people in the media industry get. It comes out, is it weekly or monthly, frankly? I can't remember.
It's weekly. It's every Thursday. Yeah. I am a long-term reader.
Yeah, it's quite catty. There's some stuff in there that would get into a lot of trouble if it was published more widely, right? So let people know, what did Potbitch say?
So the rumour they have published, obviously this is unsubstantiated, that's the thing with Potbitch, obviously it's literal gossip, is that the reason that GTA 6 is taking so long is because there is a significant bug in the game code, and it's like base level code. And the thing that is broken is the ability to save and load your games. Now, again, this is unsubstantiated. I'm just quoting what has been, or paraphrasing what's been in the Potbitch newsletter. But if that is the case, then they need to hire some more people to get this resolved, because that means you haven't got a game to release.
Yeah, that would be a mega, mega problem. It's fair that we've got a big problem for that, wouldn't it?
It'd be like the PlayStation 1 again and no memory card.
Yeah. Oh, remember those days!
I played GTA, and which one? Was it Vice City without a memory card for so long? I would have done the first 5-6 hours of that like a million times. Oh, it's painful. But I know, you know, like, would you have expected, if this is true, don't know if it's true, speculation, but it's interesting, like, in terms of what people expect should be there on day one. I think Lewis has got a point. If it's a game like a Call of Duty that you're basically buying it for the online mode and the side sort of, the aperitif or the amuse-bouche, if you will, is the story mode, it's the other way around with GTA, right? You'd think?
I think since they've always followed this model, I think they're okay. Like, they did the same with GTA 5. GTA 5 released a single player only. And then I think we had to wait either like a few weeks or a month before we got the online. And so I think people kind of expect that from Rockstar now. And I think they, in the way in which they develop games and publish games, like, people kind of excuse them because they're their own entity.
Yeah,
but I think everybody else, I don't think they could do it. I don't think they could say, oh, we're just going to release the single player now and then the multiplayer later. People are like, fix the game properly and release it properly. I think they're a unique case. And particularly because GTA Online makes them so much money. I don't think they're in a rush to kind of transfer everybody over to the new thing.
Yeah.
I think what they're going to try and do is continue to support GTA 5 online and have some sort of hybrid thing for the new players.
Yeah, I kind of like it, actually, the more I think about it, because it means it just forces people to make sure that they engage with the story more of it. Like, because that's a part of games, Frankie, that we are kind of moving away from, right? And live service games taking over and all that stuff.
Yeah, I think that so much effort has gone into the story and the storytelling in GTA 6. You can already see from the trailers that I definitely wouldn't sleep on that game mode. I think that that's the game mode that actually the majority of people are going to play. Online has given GTA 5 such a large lifespan. But if you think about it, the reality is most console players, for example, they're going to be playing that much GTA 6 online for the foreseeable, in the way that PC gamers are. Like, are they going to be joining voice chat servers? Probably not. I think that the game will have its longevity on PC, but I think the casual player is going to be story first.
Yeah. Are you excited?
Yeah, I do, honestly. Well, we just have to think about, like, how this is going to be the biggest game of 2027. But if you think about the biggest games annually, they're normally Call of Duty and FC, right? And those are both games where you can play them on your couch alone, or you can, you know, well, obviously FC, you can play with other people on the couch. But I do think that they're very kind of get in and get out game modes. Whereas with GTA 6 online, you're creating a whole character and a persona, and you get more out of it the more time you spend in it. Call of Duty, if you're playing a multiplayer game, a map takes about 5 to 7 minutes.
Yeah.
That's not GTA 6 online.
Yeah.
But I reckon that they'll definitely focus more on the console than the than PC for, mm-hmm. for GTA.
Oh, just, definitely. Just it's just the lifespan of that game. I think the lifespan of that game exists on PC.
But like, I think, because like GTA 5 online has lasted so long because of the RPG elements and people and their modding and stuff. But in terms of like the console players, they're still playing it. And that's where Rockstar make the bulk of their moolah is all the console people. Because no, like the mods, people aren't playing for the mods. It's PC. Whereas all the console people still play it. That's like, was it when PlayStation released their thing? They said like Fortnite and GTA and stuff. That's where they make the most of their money is DLC and online transactions through those kind of games. And so it's, I think they're going to definitely focus. They're not going to worry about PC for this year, I don't think.
No.
Now, Lewis, you do brilliant videos on social media of you starting to play a game and it's like 8 o'clock in the morning. And then we come back and we see you and it's 4 o'clock in the, you know, in the next day or whatever. And I've laughed
like months later.
So many of those. It's so good. Are you lining your GTA 6 up content? Are you going to be ready to go?
No, that's going to take me months. Like these videos, these are like, because they started out as a spoof kind of like, oh, this is going to be a fun one. And the more I've dived into it, because, you know, I have to record like months of gameplay to get to a point where I can record those over the shoulder shots. Like, it's so weird that people are watching them, but the GTA is going to be like a good solid month session just trying to get some nice clippable moments for that content. But I'm prepared. I can't wait. I'm excited. But I think, again, having that online gameplay from GTA is where that kind of content's going to stick out as well, because people want to know what the story's going to be like, how immersive that's going to be. And then also what that online element's going to be as well compared to the story. So, well, I don't know. It's going to be an interesting few months playing that game.
I think there's always going to be little bits of this coming out until we find out exactly what's in the box, when it's coming, all those sorts of things. It's just people are filling the gap with noise, aren't they? Because they're just desperate to talk about it because they're getting excited.
I think we'll be waiting a while for the online, you know. I don't think it's coming anytime soon. I don't think it's coming this year.
I was having a conversation with a mate the other day about, not to get in too deep about it, but like how sustainable all of this is for, like, you know, the future of making games. But anyway, that's a conversation for another time. It was boring, or we've had it before. So, let's talk about something else that popped up in the Discord. I saw this on social media and I thought it was quite funny. It was an Instagram post by The Gamer Web, which was talking about games franchises that are gone, that are never coming back. They're ones that are lost to time, but that we miss them and we would love somebody somewhere to make a new installment. Despite the fact that we mourn about games being derivative and us, you know, basically having new Resident Evil games every 10 minutes all the time, we still love old franchises, right? And so we asked our Discord, what would they like to see a remake of in 2026? Andrew got on and he said he would love a remake of Jack and Daxter. He's accepted that they're never making a fourth, but would love a remaster of that. Or would also, he'd love a new Burnout game, because Burnout Paradise, you know, it just didn't quite feel the same for him. So he'd love that. Evs was on that, saying that he thought the Paradise was when Burnout peaked, but they'd love to see a new Burnout game. Sam got on then to say that he would love to see a new SSX game. Which was SSX Tricky. The soundtrack for SSX Tricky was incredible. Or maybe a new Half-Life title. Anyway, so these are the games that we would love to see back. So on the Instagram post, they were talking about Dino Crisis, Midnight Club, Resistance, Fall of Man, Sly Cooper. These were some of the games that were in there. Frankie, what would you love to see come back?
I want to see return of dance mats in our living rooms, and I want a new Dance Dance Revolution game, because I can't keep commuting to Brighton and queuing for the only machine that works, because one of them, the one that's further back in the arcade, doesn't work. It's broken, just to warn you, save your pounds. But if you go to the white machine that's in the large kind of dome area, that one does work, but it only gives you one dance, which is a ripoff. It used to give you four dances. So what I need is a new Dance Dance Revolution, but with some of the classics, like Boyzone's So Good and La Senorita, and I need that in my living room, please and thank you.
Did I ever tell you about the time I completed Dance Dance Revolution in Brighton Pier for a pound? I think we should return dance mats to the living room. You know, you used to have the ones you could plug into your PS2, wasn't there? Like, it was like,
I had so shoddy though.
Just like fold up while you were dancing.
Inflatable, just like,
mate.
Mate. It was like playing Twister.
It was like playing Twister.
Yes. I am so loud, though, when I play Dance Dance Revolution that I shouldn't be playing it in public. That's the problem. People hold on to their two pences and they come over and surround me because I'm just like going...
So Frankie's grunting in Brighton Pier, getting a fix of Dance Dance Revolution, remortgage the house first and then turn up at Brighton Pier. What about you, Lewis? What are you saying? What would you bring back?
I mean, they might have it on VR nowadays, but I was in Manchester the other day for an event and I got my hands on Guitar Hero again. And that was like such a nostalgia trip playing like Knights of Cydonia. And I was like, I've missed this game so much. And I, to the point where I want to go home to where my family live and just pick up like my old like Guitar Hero. I've got Rock Band there so I can get the drum kit out again. Like, I don't know if we've had a remake recently, but because you can play it in arcades, but I just need that game back, please.
Yeah, and it was good, I know, because peripherals, you know, games peripherals were like you having a drum and like the guitar, that was cool.
I used to work in a game shop when at the peak of those times. I remember Rock Band Beatles, like the full kit, take up the whole storage room. It'd be in like the communal area where people were eating their lunch and they'd be stacked in there because there's no space in the stock room to put it. But like, I used to love those gaming peripherals, like the Socom guns for like the Time Crisis games. I remember Silent Scope had a plastic sniper rifle.
Yes, it did. Silent Scope. Bring back Silent Scope.
You probably played that for a pound as well, right?
Yeah, that was quite hard, Silent Scope, actually. That was a level.
It was,
Producer Dave has just sort of put a note in our script just being like, being a kid was class, wasn't it? Hey, when you could just play Guitar Hero with your mates.
I just remember walking up, going into an arcade machine and just seeing a sniper rifle just like mounted. And like, you'd love to go walking in. I want to know though, Frankie, when you played Dance Dance Revolution, did you use the handlebars that were always there in an arcade machine? Were you one of those?
Only when I accidentally fell over, because the trick with Dance Dance Revolution, I'm so sorry because I'm sure there's lots of experts watching and listening to this right now, is you always keep your foot on the last arrow you pressed and then use your next foot to travel. So you don't return to the middle every time. But sometimes when you're literally... Yes, when you traverse around, because you don't have to take your foot off the arrow until you need to lift up your foot to go to the same arrow or another one, right? So when you're sometimes traversing around, you just end up falling into the back. So sometimes you have to use it. But I swear, I do see sometimes people would rock up to these arcades, they would use both dance mats because there'd always be two together. Mm-hmm. And then literally like run across the two doing extreme mode. It was crazy. And so sometimes you would see them literally holding on to the two things behind them to kind of angle them. Are you a handlebar guy then?
Oh, you got
I'm sorry, you've got to what?
It's an audio medium. Right, right now. It's an audio medium, I know.
Oh, my bad.
You've got to sort of hoist yourself up with your arms and bunny hop down and up.
And then, you know, yeah.
I didn't know Chumbawamba was a Dance Dance Revolution track.
Like, get your momentum around for if you want to do a spin. Now be stylish in the middle of it.
Are you a Dance Dance guy, Lewis? Is this your vibe?
When I was Manchester, I was on. That's the first machine I went on. I went to drama school and I broke my ankle three times. So my long-lived musical career will forever live on just a dance mat.
Yeah, I mean.
Can I just clarify though? Lewis didn't break his ankle just dance. He also broke it fighting.
Fine.
That is, yes, I also broke it in stage combat as well. So.
Yeah. Yeah, let's
thank you for clarifying that, Frankie.
Not in a nightclub on a Thursday night, but in stage combat. So that's
stage combat.
I was trying to make Lewis sound so much cooler, and then he went and said stage combat. Like, Lewis, I did you a solid there. You didn't stick the landing.
No, never. That'll be on the news.
great suggestions. Like, I love this post. Like, some of these old games. But
Steph? What do you want coming back?
I want two. I know. I mean, they did, but they didn't do it properly. I want Two Rock back. Remember Two Rock, the dinosaur shooting game? Yeah,
there's Two Rock coming.
Is it good? I want it back. I'm excited for it because I enjoyed that. That was in the N64 era, wasn't it? Two Rock is one of the cool games. Yeah, but you know what? One I really wanted back. And I was really sad, and we had Alex Wilton Regan on the pod not so long ago chatting about it.
Sad times, man.
Perfect Dark. I wanted that Perfect Dark game, and I wanted Perfect Dark back, and it's sad that it's not happening. And it was good. It's quite cathartic chatting to Alex about it, actually, but also a bit sad because we'll never know how good that could have been. But there we are. You know, it's only a video game at the end of the day. But yeah, I think Perfect Dark, Two Rock, those N64 days, I'd love to see sort of freaking Banjo-Kazooie.
Yes.
I want Pilot Wings to come back, that franchise. I used to love Pilot Wings. Pilot Wings is so cool.
Yeah, of all of the ones, you're going to go Pilot Wings?
Pilot Wings, yeah. It's so it's therapeutic just flying a plane around and just like taking pictures.
What's the other one? Ace something, the flying game?
Ace Combat.
Yes, Ace Combat. Yeah.
No, that's a series.
That was a great series. Yes.
There's a new one coming though.
They keep pumping those out. Brilliant. Yeah. It's the sniper elite of the aviation world.
They're so good, though. They're so good.
So, look, what games should we be bringing back? What franchises that have been lost to time that you're sad about? Do we need a new Golden Axe? What is it? Then let us know. Get in the Discord. Get involved in the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. And while we're talking about the Discord, we've got to give another massive shout out. We do it from time to time. We don't do it enough. A massive shout out to Johnny Quiz, who is in there posting loads in the game recommendations channel with loads of cheap deals as well for games, some free ones as well. So if you want a deal, if you want a bargain, then Johnny's got you covered. Massive thank you to Johnny for that good work that he's doing in the Discord.
Doing the Lord's work.
He's doing the Lord's work. Thank you very much to Johnny
Saving
Quiz.
More money.
Right, time for a review then. Lewis, we were talking about this before we started recording. I'm fascinated by this because I see a lot of it. On the surface, it feels like something I should be playing. But there's got a couple of issues I think that might sort of stop me from doing it. But tell us all about Crimson Desert, please.
You're going to need a new podcast for me to talk about Crimson Desert. It's a huge game. Hey, I mean, I've sunk too many hours into this game already, and I think I checked my Steam and I'm only 5% in.
Wow.
Maybe I'm in 100 hours, but it's a huge open world adventure action game, which the developers have said it isn't an RPG and it's not a Souls-like game, but it has all of those elements kind of in it. Like on the premise, you're literally just playing as a guy called Cliff, who's part of the Grey Manes and the Black Bears take down his clan, and you're kind of hunting around Pywell to get your clan back together. That's like the premise of the world. But then they drop you into this huge, huge world. There's five realms in Pywell, which you can kind of take over one by one. And then you just get distracted. Like the ADHD in me is walking around this world. And I'm like, oh, there's a forest. Let me go over there. Or, hey, there's a cat. Let me stroke it. And then all of a sudden you've got a pet. And yes, you can pat the dog. So it's like, it's just one of those games where there's a lot, there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
The control button system is much like Tekken. Like you've got to press everything in a sequence of orders to get those satisfying combos.
That's
huge.
The elements. So a couple of elements that, because on surface, action adventure game looks fantastic, fantasy setting, perfect. The two issues I had was one, that complicated combat system was like, oh, I just want to hack and slash. And secondly, is the amount of time it takes. Is there a way, if you're 100 hours in and you've only done 5%, that makes my my brain, you know, feel like it needs to explode. Is there a way where you could quote unquote mainline this story, or is it, are you in, this is a game that you have to be all in for?
No, I think I've done a review video already on it, and people have been commenting in the section saying they're either, you know, 1,000 hours in already, or people are like, oh, I finished it in 80 hours. So you can just focus on Cliff's storyline and you can just power through that way. The key is like finding these like abyss artifacts and then leveling up your skill tree that way so that you get more powerful, like hoarding food to do the big boss battles. So you can just follow his story and then be done. But then you do get introduced to so many different elements of the game. It's just very, very easy to get distracted.
Yeah. What have you, of the bits you've seen of this, Frankie? Because it's one of those games that's shared and talked about a lot on social, isn't it? It's got a bit of a hype about it.
So I played four of the boss battles last year, and some of this footage is online. So I did a couple of short form pieces on YouTube, and then I put my Queenstone crab battle on my YouTube. And I found the combat system very unintuitive. And I remember the training montage. I was like, it's so dark. You can't literally see who is an enemy, like who's a friend, who's a foe. So for me, I was a bit like, this is going to be too much for me to try and play and get something out of. So I think it's definitely got its audience. It's clearly found its audience. But for me, 80 hours of kind of muddling through that combat, I think I would probably give up a bit early. I think I'd give up after a few hours.
Yeah.
See, this is what's nice from when I played it last year, is that it has improved so much since my first play.
Sell it.
When I played it, wherever we both played it, they just threw you straight in. They gave you all the buttons, they gave you all the controls, and now they've kind of went, yeah, let's refine that. And they've made it a lot easier to kind of muddle your way through.
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear, Lewis. Thank you. That sounds so much better.
As this intrigue, because it's intrigued me, I know, just because I like the look of the setting. I know, you know me, I like a fantasy setting. I've heard interesting things about the story. It looks beautiful. They've got, you know, the developers have got good heritage in terms of big open worlds and things. So it kind of like intrigues me, but how are you feeling about it?
Feels like my kind of game, man. I love system-driven games where there's systems upon systems upon systems, and then they all react with each other in a way that makes sense. You're like, oh yeah, logically that would happen if this happened to that thing. And so I love it. And like in terms of like story, like that doesn't really bother me, because like games like Oblivion and Skyrim, I don't know what the main quests are. Never did it. Never closed any Oblivion gates in Oblivion. But I played the game for about 80 hours and I had a great time doing it. Like, I don't play those games particularly for the story. I play them to create my own kind of narrative as the character, go through this world, reacting to things, seeing where my eye takes me. It's why, like, Breath of the Wild is probably one of my favorite games of all time, because, like, the story doesn't really matter. It's about what you do and with your time in that place. And so, like, I really want to give it a go. I just need to find the time to do it.
Yeah. Same. It's got a Metacritic score of 77. Some people have sort of been a bit sniffy about it, Lewis. Why is that?
I think it's because it's such a huge world. There's just a lot to do. It's not a game for everyone. It's not like you're walking in and it's like playing Red Dead. It's not like playing Oblivion. It's not like playing Zelda. It's kind of like they have meshed a lot of different genres into one world. Because I go, oh, cool, you're playing Cliff and you're doing a clan together. But then you've kind of got this medieval fantasy realm that is huge. But I think if you kind of ignore the fact that it's a mesh of a lot of different games and you're going into it with more of an exploration eye, because that's what Pearl Abyss wanted. They wanted the player to be dropped into a world and you can see a mountain like 100 kilometers away and you can go there and you can, you know, you don't have to worry about any, like the whole storyline. It's just a very explorative game.
Right.
So, I mean, 77's fine.
Would you recommend?
I wouldn't give it 100.
Yeah. What would you recommend? If people are interested, you know, have listened to you, would you say they should buy it now? Wait till it's on sale? Don't bother with it? What are you thinking?
If they've got time to sink into a game and like really, if you've got time to sink into a game, I'd probably get it, you know, because you don't have to just go, let's battle everyone. Hey, you can just do a homestead and start farming. It's like playing Minecraft. It's a very strange, you can set up your camp, you can then start farming and then doing crops and learning skills from other players. You can do the main storyline, or you can just start doing quests in different like regions.
Well, look, if you're in there, if you've been drawn into the world of Crimson Desert, then do let us know. Get in touch on social media or on the Discord as well. We'd love to hear from you. Are you agreeing or disagreeing with what Lewis's take on it? Then let us know, because me and Einel are certainly intrigued. That time frame is just a bit daunting for me. Right, okay, time for this week's big question then. This is where our producers have been listening to what we've been chatting about, scheming behind our backs and coming up with a question based on what we've said on the podcast. And this week, the question is this. You go into the store cupboard at work and behind all the Rock Band peripherals is John Cleese, the talking bomb. He's going to explode if you can't beat Lewis in a fight. Now, he's going to team you up with a video game character who complements your fighting style. So who is that character and why? So basically, what fighting game character are you most like?
You know what? I'm not going to say I'm... Eddie Gordo, Tekken.
The most annoying fighting game character of all time.
He's doing the move. Einel is doing the move, in case you're wondering.
To be To be fair, I now can be on the Rock Band while Eddie Gordo capoeiras to the soundtrack.
Yeah.
I disconnected my headphones.
Too busy doing his Eddie. Too busy doing his Eddie. His headphones have come off. Now, I don't think I can... So, I don't think I can chew it, but when I used to play Street Fighter 2, I used to love being DJ on Street Fighter, but I don't think I could... I don't think that's a... I don't think I can choose DJ, so I'm going to choose Ken instead because I got blonde hair. Mm-hmm. Frankie, who are you going
for?
Do they have to be
a fighting game character?
No, a video game... A video game character that complements your fighting style, though, that's all.
Okay, so this is like a shameless plug for my chat with Lewis and Harbits, but I would be James Bond. Okay. Because Lewis has previously been defeated by James Bond.
I nearly sent you that video, Frankie, yesterday.
Oh my God,
please do. I was too embarrassed to send it. I found it. This is like, fantastic. This is Lewis Law right now. Cryptic. No one knows. Pray do tell. Do you want to know the story?
Yeah, I mean,
is this podcast worthy?
Yeah, do it. Why not?
I've seen it now. So when I'm going back to stage combat in drama school, my friend George, he's going to love the plugs he's getting this week. My friend George had a birthday party and he's absolutely obsessed with James Bond. To the fact that his father, I think, owns like a couple of the memorabilia. He has a couple of Aston Martins, like bonkers. And his girlfriend at the time set him on a tour around like the Guildford campus to do all these like kind of like a tale of his James Bond secret spy. And we set him up like loads of little secret spy stuff. And one of the challenges was he came round to my flat and I set him out a whiskey. There was a portfolio and he did his deep dive into the portfolio and then realized that I was an undercover spy and he had to take me down. However, I had a gun on me, like a fake gun.
Yeah.
And he essentially, when we did stage combat, I was the A person and he was the B person, but we were with different partners. So when he came around to the flat, we both knew the same kind of like the fight choreography. And I literally looked at him like, let's pretend this gun's a knife, shall we? And then we go full into like this James Bond takedown kind of like this fight scene. But everything is secretly recorded in the corner of the room, which we obviously then posted, which I'll send Frankie later, or all of you if you want to see it. And at the end of it, he kind of takes me down. I'm laying on the floor and like pretending to, you know, passed out.
Yeah.
And he picks up this whiskey I poured for him and he goes up to me and he looks at me up and down and he goes, bottoms up, and just sips the whiskey and then walks out. And I'm in hysterics on the floor because then he's going to play poker with like everyone else. And I walk up trying to be a bodyguard running to the other side. But yeah, I got taken out by technically James Bond.
Very good. Look at that. That's a good dinner party story, isn't it? That's a nice.
I haven't told this for 5 years, so thank you.
So we've got Eddie. I'm going to go with Ken. I was just saying, I know, while you were trying to fix your headphones.
I thought he was going as DJ.
Well, DJ is my favourite. He's my favourite. So I'm allowed to choose DJ, right? He's my favourite.
Yeah, Welsh Jamaican, man. Yeah.
Welsh Jamaican. Yeah, yeah. I can choose DJ. DJ or Ken. Frankie's gone for James Bond. Lewis, and who are you choosing to fight against us?
I feel like I need someone to outsmart everyone. So I might go Nathan Drake.
Oh, very good. Very Nathan Drake sort of shirt you've got on today, actually, Lewis. That could be a Nathan Drake shirt, couldn't it?
Very good.
Thank you. Right, okay, right. Time then for the answer and, the answer to this week's trivia question. So which movie franchise was the first to have a film adapted into a video game? What are our answers, please? Now, I didn't want to say this early on. I think I know the answer.
Oh, is it? Oh, man.
Because I think we've talked about this before. It's way more famous than you think. I think, if I'm right. So what was the first movie franchise to have a video game?
I can't think of anything earlier than E.T., but I'm sure there is.
I don't know if I'm right. I don't know if I'm right because I haven't seen the answer yet. But I think it's a franchise of that nature. I think it's a very famous franchise. In fact, I'm going to say, I think it's Indiana Jones.
Oh, I think it must be an arcade game because I was thinking home consoles like Aladdin, Lion King, those early 90s notoriously difficult Disney games. Now I'm thinking it's like Die Hard.
Oh, could be that, but I think that there's a Turtles. I'm torn between the Turtles.
Oh, Turtles.
And Indiana Jones, but I think it was earlier than we all think.
I've got a Rogue E.T. One.
I can't think earlier than E.T.
It can't be Star Wars.
Okay, so Ryan, you're going to go E.T. Frankie, you're saying...
I'm actually going to change my answer from, yeah, from Die Hard. I'm going to change my answer to, part of people say Brown, but I'm actually going to say like Star Wars because it's a franchise.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. That's good. Shout. That is good.
Good shout.
Lewis, what are you saying?
Well, I like Frankie said Star Wars and I was like, in my head, I was like, I could say Star Wars, but I've got a very vivid memory of me as a child when I had a Pass Me Dell computer with a floppy disk tray and I was playing RoboCop and I spent hours trying to play RoboCop on this floppy disk. I could never get it to work until I did. And my mum was like, you need to turn this game off. But that was a side scroller. So this is like old. But I think we're overthinking it.
I think it was like a text based game.
Yeah.
So like that's why I'm thinking in Indiana Jones. Well, could be Lord of the Rings. But then Lord of the Rings wasn't a film franchise at that point. It was just a book franchise. Anyway, so I'm saying Indiana Jones because I think I've heard this on either on our podcast, on a podcast before, and I think it's like an Atari text-only game.
Yeah. Oh, see, now I'm like, never-ending story.
Okay. So.
Okay, sorry.
Let me scroll down. Let me scroll down to the answer. Okay, the answer is, so this game was released on the Atari 2600 in 1982. It narrowly beats out the game E.T. And narrowly beats out Atari's Superman, because the game wasn't an adaptation of the film, it was just an adaptation of Superman, comics. The answer, yeah, I thought so, Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Atari's Raiders of the Lost Ark was the first game based on an official movie license and released in 1982.
Was that before?
I can't take credit for that. I just think I've heard it before.
That's so cool, though. That's a great question.
That's so
I loved
cool.
it. Yeah. Love being 16th on the leaderboard.
Lewis is the newest member on the leaderboard. Congratulations for being on the leaderboard, Lewis. You're down in 16th place amongst many other people.
Happy to be here, guys.
Frankie is staying in 15th. Einel, you've slipped down to 6th. And I'm in 2nd, so that's quite good for me. But I got lucky today, so I'm happy to take it. I'm going to take it. Right, well, Lewis, it's been a joy having you on. Thank you very much. Where can people find your stuff?
I'm on the old Instagram under Mr. Lewis Blogs Gaming and TikTok under Mr. Lewis Blogs Gaming and YouTube, Rogley Lewis Blogs Gaming. That'll be me.
And Frankie, tell us about your new bits you've got coming out.
My bits, my fresh bits, my hard bits are on youtube.com/Frankie Ward. Lewis was a fabulous first guest, so that episode is out. And by the time this comes out, we'll probably have one or two more episodes. We have a Fortnite expert, broadcaster, commentator, analyst, 11-2K is in episode 2. And episode 3 features Alex Jordan from The Alters, which I think that the Press X, the Continue Club, might enjoy quite a bit.
Oh, very exciting. Very exciting stuff. Well, thank you very much both for being with us. Einel, as a joy as ever. See you very soon. Go and eat some. Go and put some, I don't know, go and like, go, just, you know, just look after yourself now, okay? You know, they're touring. Don't lose too much weight now, do you? Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hear you. Thanks for looking out for me, man.
I've got your back. All right, take care, everybody. Lovely to see you. And we will be back very soon. All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.